winds from the east to 10 to 15 miles an hour, gusting up to maybe 20 at times. For tomorrow, occasional showers and thunderstorms again, at a high temperature of around 62. Southeast winds, 16 to 20 miles an hour. For Friday night, the strongest chance of showers and thunderstorms, especially in the evening before midnight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, the low 51, southwest winds 16 to 20 miles an hour. Saturday, we begin the weekend with some sunshine again and a high near 67. West winds between 10 and 13 miles an hour, gusts as high as 16. Saturday night, though, back into the chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low temperature of around 50. Right now, around the two-state area, temperatures are holding steady, actually increasing a bit into the low 50s, headed toward the high of 55, as we said here in Champaign-Urbana. 50 degrees right now in Pontiac, where they're seeing a mostly sunny sky. Peoria and Lincoln and Rantoul also reporting 50 degrees. It's 51 in Bloomington and down in Mattoon. 52, the temperature right now in Danville and Decatur. And as Taylorville is also reporting 52, as is Springfield. At Willard Airport at the top of the hour, there was some sunshine, and it was 50 degrees. The dew point at 38, relative humidity a little bit lower than we've seen, 63%. Winds out of the east at 10 miles an hour, and the barometer is falling at 30.34. Right now, it's partly sunny, a little bit of sun, a little bit of cloudiness on our Friends Plaza on the U of I campus, and the temperature reads 53 degrees. It's 21 minutes before 1 o'clock. It's the Afternoon Magazine at 12:40. Throughout history, Islamic scholars have said that Muslim women must cover their hair. There are about 1 million Muslim women in America, and about half wear the hijab all or some of the time, according to the Pew Research Center. That means the other half don't wear the hijab. That half is split between women who have covered and women who have never covered. But now there's a generation of women who are taking off the hijab. NPR's Asma Khalid explores that emotional issue.
I spoke with dozens of women who chose to wear a headscarf and then later decided to take it off.
I was 9 years old when I started wearing hijab, and
I became a focal point. I started fearing for my safety, and with that...
So I got to a point where I was like, I'm going to stop doing stuff that I don't understand why I'm doing it.
And I took it off on October 1st, 2007. That was...
I felt at some point that I wanted to see what life was like without it.
Sabra Jafarzadeh, Samia Nassim, Salima Abdulghafoor, Rifq Ibad, and Noran Khan all took off their hijabs. So did Rasmiya Abdulnabi. She grew up going to an Islamic school in Illinois. As Abdulnabi rolls into the parking lot of the local mosque, she bumps into a familiar face.
Hi, baby!
Hi. Everybody knows everybody here. This is Bridgeview, Illinois, a tiny Arab enclave on the southwest side of Chicago. It's a place where most Muslim women wear hijab. Abdulnabi wore one for 14 years. Now she has sideswept bangs, the kind that hide part of her face. She's quiet, reflective, and sometimes shy.
I'm the kind of person who likes to walk into a room and be unnoticed. When you wear hijab, you walk in a room, everyone stares at you.
People make assumptions about you, she says. They think of all Muslims as a homogenous block.
When you put the scarf on, you have to understand that you are representing a community, and that is huge. That's a huge responsibility.
It's a responsibility she never wanted. Abdel Nabi takes me to her favorite restaurant. In between bites of falafel, she explains why she stopped wearing hijab.
I've done my research, and I don't feel its foundation is from Islam. I think it comes from Arab culture.
She says Islam teaches modesty, but wearing the hijab is taking it a step too far.
And when I say something like that, it's like, how dare you question God's will? How dare you? I sometimes feel like talking about hijab is like talking about abortion in mid-America.
A couple minutes drive down the road, I meet Lean Jaber at her parents' house. Jaber also took off the hijab. But for her, that decision wasn't so permanent.
I started wearing hijab at the age of 14. I think
Jaber wore the scarf for 12 years. But some days, she says it felt mechanical. And as her marriage started to fall apart, she took it off.
I was going through a lot of difficult things. Perhaps I thought taking it off would just be one less thing to worry about. You know, I never took it off saying, like, it was the right decision. I just took it off because I wanted to do it. I wanted to see if my life would be different, if I would feel any better about the problems I was going through.
But Jaber's problems didn't go away. In fact, she says they got worse. She lost her job, got divorced, and moved in with her parents. That got her thinking more about God and spirituality. 1 year and 8 months later, Jaber put the scarf back on.
It was a very different process than I'd gone through when I was 14. When I was 14, it was like, well, everybody's wearing it.
Jaber is outgoing and chatty. She writes poetry, blogs, and dreams of the day she'll be on American Idol.
I would have given you all of my heart.
Jaber says it's easy for some women to feel like the scarf strips them of their individuality and turns them into some sort of spokeswoman for the faith. But that's why this time around, Jaber is making sure other parts of her personality, like singing, shine through the scarf. As I spoke with these women, I couldn't help but wonder, how has this discussion changed since 9/11? Well, many women said the terrorist attacks initially strengthened their desire to wear hijab. They, in fact, wanted to represent a positive counter-image to al-Qaeda. But in the years that followed, that fervor waned as anti-Muslim zeal grew. The scarf became a heavy burden to carry, one that affected the way strangers perceived them, the way colleagues treated them, and even the way fellow Muslims expected them to behave. But for others, the decision simply came down to a choice as they grew older. Nadia Shwaib's family's from India. Her mother never wore a hijab. Her grandmother never wore a hijab either. But Shwaib put one on when she was 17. Shwaib reads from an old journal.
Never could I have imagined when I put it on that 5 years later, on a day just as random as the day I had put it on, I would take it off.
She remembers that day clearly, even now, 8 years later.
That feeling is like, I am going out without a shirt on. That sense of feeling exposed. And so I remember I had really long hair and I actually tucked it into my sweater because I was feeling so embarrassed that, oh my God, I'm showing my hair. Am I being immodest somehow? Even though I looked like every girl on the street, you know?
Her decision was as much about religion as it was about her evolving feminine and American identities. Shwaib spent her childhood wearing shorts in Saudi Arabia. It was only when she came to the U.S. as a teenager that she started wearing the hijab. She decided to cover, and eventually uncover, here in the States, and she doesn't think that's surprising.
The religious landscape of America is one in which it's a very deeply religious nation, but at the same time it's so fluid. You know, people are born into one faith, and then they might still be Christian, but become of a different church. And part of this phenomenon of veiling, and then taking off the veil, and then reveiling, and it's situated within that context. And we might think that this is something particular to Muslim Americans, when in fact, that's the story of our religious landscape in America.
For Shwaib, it's that fluid religious experience of unveiling and reveiling that makes American Islam distinctly American. Shwaib has no intention of putting the scarf back on for now, but she says she wouldn't be the person she is today if she had never worn it in the first place. Asma Khalid, NPR News.
The 2011 vintage vinyl sale is Saturday, April 30th, at the former Altman's Billiard and Barstool Supply, located at 301 West Market View Drive, Champaign. And starting April 4th, We'll accept used records, CDs, DVDs, and working stereo equipment at the sale site. Call me, Dean Geiken, at 217-333-6503 for more information.
Coming up this afternoon at 1 o'clock in about 13 minutes on Fresh Air, combat photographers Tim Hetherington and Chris Hondros were killed yesterday in Libya. Two more photographers were seriously injured. And Fresh Air will bring you an interview that was taped earlier this week with combat photographers Greg Marinovich and Juan Silva, both of whom have been seriously injured in the battlefield. They have written a book called The Bang Bang Club, a group of photographers that have seen action in military engagement. Marinovich has been shot and wounded four times while covering conflicts in South Africa and Afghanistan. Silva lost both of his legs in a landmine explosion in Afghanistan last October while he was working as a contract photographer for the New York Times. So the life of the combat photographer coming up on Fresh Air at 1 o'clock this afternoon on WILL AM 580.
Thanks to the 946 listeners who called in pledges of support during our recently ended spring membership campaign. Your participation made it a big success. You raised more than $125,000 to support your local public radio station, WILL. If you missed our pledge week, you can still help reach the April campaign goal with an online contribution at willpledge.org. And thanks for your support. And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 21st of April, 2011. It was on this day in 1910, Mark Twain died, just as he had predicted the year before, when he said, "I came in with Halley's Comet in 1835. It is coming again next year, and I expect to go out with it." And he did. He died a day after the comet's closest approach to Earth. William Faulkner called him the father of American literature. Huckleberry Finn, a frequently banned book in America because of its use of the controversial N-word, the racial epithet, which in a new version recently came out, has been